There are all kinds of people, and they have all kinds of lifestyles and all kinds of quirks, as we all do. And to some extent, you have to tolerate that. To another extent, the question is, where is that line? It's just like free speech. There's a certain amount of free speech that you have. It's almost unlimited until you get into the area of hate crimes or, you know, where you begin advocating criminal activity like kill all the, you know, name your group. You can say Yankee fans or Philly fans, like the governor was not speaking well of Philadelphia sports fans the other day on a sports radio show. I guess we should have the governor on here so we can have a nice discussion about Philadelphia sports fans. the end result is that there are limits to conduct, and we have tremendous freedoms here in this country, and the protections are against government actions. And also against sometimes private acts, but a private individual certainly has the right to go to the courts and ask for protection against certain kinds of conduct or certain kinds of conduct that may be permitted at certain points or at certain times, but may not be permitted later. And the perfect example is a noise ordinance. Let's say that I like to play Mozart as loud as I can at 3 a.m. Well, if you're my neighbor and you just love Mozart and you're awake at 3 a.m. and you're enjoying the music, well, maybe no harm, no foul. But if you don't like Mozart and you would rather hear Mick Jagger singing, or you would rather hear, I'm showing my age, or you would rather hear Beyoncé, who certainly has a lovely voice at 3 a.m., or nothing at all, just the crickets.
Well, listen, and you're absolutely right. I think this has been a fun discussion, and I hope to have you back, and we'll talk more about this. And, in fact, if anyone has any of these problems or have any of these questions, Bill Wolfson, of course, is an attorney here in Flemington. And, Bill, why don't you at least give your... I'm going to plug you for a minute, so why don't you give your phone number, and then we'll go to the news and the sports guys.
Well, I'm at 908-782-9333, 1100 Liberty Court, at 260 Route 202 here in Flemington, and we are just across from the Old Town and Country Bank building and the Jake's Restaurant.
Okay, folks, we'll play the one more spot, the news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys, and hope to have John Macy here with us today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
You know, in the old days when I made this speech, I got paid a lot of money. Now I have to do it for nothing. So, not a good deal, but that's okay. We love it.
President Trump laughing and joking with an employees at a Boeing plant in South Carolina. Trump got a look at the company's new 787-10 Dreamliner.
We're here today to celebrate American engineering and American manufacturing. We're also here today to celebrate jobs. Jobs.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson meeting with his Russian counterpart, saying the two countries can work together in certain ways.
The United States will consider working with Russia when we can find areas of practical cooperation that will benefit the American people. Where we do not see eye to eye, the United States will stand up for the interests and values of America and her allies.
This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Staples. It's Monday morning, and you've got a schedule full of meetings. But what if you aren't feeling well?
Staples' 7th annual cold and flu survey reveals that nearly 80% of U.S. workers go into the office when they are ill, despite being aware of the danger it presents to their workplace. 73% of those surveyed also report that they caught a cold or the flu in their office last year, with nearly one-third citing their sick coworkers as the culprit. Chris Carenti, VP and General Manager of Staples Facility Solutions, offers some advice.
Staying home from work when you're feeling ill can often feel like a tough choice to make, but it's a necessary one. Not only are you spreading germs, but sick employees are generally less productive and can impact a business's bottom line. Cold and flu viruses can live on a surface for up to 3 days, so keep germs at bay by washing your hands and disinfecting your workspace regularly.
For more tips and resources, visit www.staplesadvantage.com.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says many people are wrong when it comes to the real problem of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians.
The real core of this conflict between us and the Palestinian is not this or that settlement or this or that community. It's the persistent and enduring Palestinian refusal to recognize a Jewish state in any boundary.
Netanyahu spoke to Greta Van Susteren and said his meeting with Donald Trump was very positive and productive.
There was a great sense of kinship and friendship, and I think that that is something that the people of America feel towards the people of Israel, and I assure you the people of Israel feel deeply about America.
Federal health officials say there's a genetic link between city water in Flint, Michigan, and outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease in the city in 2014 and 2015. The link made by the CDC after taking water from McLaren Flint Hospital. USA Radio News.
Ah, oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
A number of Americans still showing the effects of stress from the presidential election. Here's the story.
This new poll from the American Psychological Association says people are more stressed about the political climate today than they've been in a very long time. Not surprisingly, Democrats were more likely than Republicans to say they were stressed out by the result of the November election. 72% of Democrats said President Trump's victory is stressful. Less than a third of Republicans agreed. But more than half of both Democrats and Republicans said the country's future remains a significant source of stress for them. Sharon Reed, New York.
Many studies have been done regarding postpartum depression in women, but can men be depressed after a baby? Chris Barnes has a story.
The new study from the University of Auckland in New Zealand says pregnancy-linked depression can affect fathers, too. Finding mothers are not the only ones susceptible, they interviewed hundreds of men, and many of them said they experienced depression both during and after their partner's pregnancy. The study finding that men who are in poor health are more likely to experience pregnancy-related depression. The research, it's in the journal JAMA Psychiatry. I'm Chris Barnes.
The acting national security advisor in the running to get the job permanently, President Trump tweeted this morning, retired General Keith Kellogg is, quote, very much in play as he looks to replace Michael Flynn, who stepped down this week. Trump says three other candidates are also being considered. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the weather, because when Bill hears this, and Bill Wolfson, of course, is with me, but when Bill hears the weather, he may go down to the shore and take his boat out. So Bill, although tonight it's low about 22 degrees, tomorrow we're expecting a high sunny tomorrow, sunny on Sunday. Both days expect a high of about 62 degrees. And then on Monday, Washington's birthday, because a lot of people will be off, the high will be about 49 degrees. So anyway, folks, we're back with the sports guys, and we are very lucky to again have John Macy is with us.
And
hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I had, although we probably still can talk a little football, I was just thinking, you know, it's almost March.
And remember, pitchers and catchers have reported, if I remember. You're just like you're dressed for baseball.
Oh, yeah. It's, for us, it's 2 weeks away, but pitchers and catchers are down there already, and it's pretty exciting. They look, they're having fun. 75 degrees in Florida, and all those northeast teams are probably enjoying the 6 weeks down there.
Well, and this weekend, I was just talking about the weather. You guys can go out and play ball here. It's going to be about 62 degrees tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah, it's supposed to be beautiful.
So what are you doing now for baseball?
Oh, I'm just getting ready, hitting, throwing. There's not really much you can do besides just do the basic things to get prepared.
Weight training?
Weight training also, that's wrapping up, but it's almost that time, and March we start two weeks from today.
Wow, so both baseball and March Madness about the same time.
Right.
So sports fans, unless you're like me and just are diehard football and not really interested in the other sports, you know, sports never ends.
No.
So what's happening? Any predictions about Major League Baseball?
I think the Cubs are going to be tough again.
Great.
Now that the curse is over, they're no longer underdogs. They have to be seen as a team that's the best team in baseball, just won the World Series. But I like Cleveland to come back again, and one of the hottest preseason picks is Boston, because they signed a whole bunch of pitchers, and they're looking good. But
so who do you think are going to be standout pitchers this year?
Well, Boston just signed Chris Sale. They traded for Chris Sale, which was probably the biggest move of the offseason.
So why would somebody trade him?
They got the number one prospect in baseball, Yoan Makata. He's the best player in the minor leagues, along with three or four other minor league players. But Chris Sale, Chris Sale, David Price, and Rick Porcello for the Red Sox. They have the Cy Young winners, the number three pitcher, so it's going to be pretty tough to beat.
Well, that's great. I guess we're having some problems with
some technical problems with the mics, but now it's starting to sound a little better because Laura Cummins, who is our master of the switchboard, is taking care of everything. So thank you, Laura. John, let's hope you don't have to repeat everything you just said.
We were told that your mic was number four. I have a feeling that it was number one. They told us number one was not working. So
Getting the right microphone sometimes is a little bit like trying to find out which walnut shell the pea is under.
So anyway, let's talk a little bit about that Red Sox trade, since I have a feeling that nobody heard what you said.
Okay. So back in the winter meetings, back in probably December or January, Boston traded with the White Sox for Chris Sale, who's a left-handed pitcher. And he was almost seen as the best pitcher in baseball last year, but now the Red Sox have him, along with Rick Porcello, who just won the Cy Young Award, and David Price, who they signed last year, give them three number one starters, along with a lineup that led the American League in runs scored last year, making them pretty tough. The American League East is going to be a great division. Again, there's three or four really good teams. Probably four really good teams if the Yankees find a way to use all the young talent they acquired. It's gonna be a fun year. All the big market teams look pretty good, so there's gonna be a lot of excitement coming around April.
Well, I would think that, you know, trading for the or getting the best pitching staff in baseball is something like getting, you know, the best quarterback, and especially if you get a great quarterback and a good backup in football. I mean, is there? Would you say that's comparable or not?
It's tough to compare baseball and football because football you play 16 games. Baseball you play 162. You're out there every day, so you can't really compare the number two pitcher as the number two.
No, player. I don't mean comparing the number two pitcher. I mean compare the pitching staff with the quarterback in a football team. In other words, we all know that you need what? Would you say five good pitchers?
The thing with quarterback, the quarterback's on the field for every offensive play, while the pitcher's out there only on defense, and he's only out there every fifth day. So it's really tough to compare the comparing football and baseball is very
you can't
difficult.
Do it. Okay,
it's almost impossible just because they play completely different, physically and mentally. It's very difficult to compare both those two sports.
Well, how would you compare? You know, I'm showing my age, but Bill, probably the same thing. When we were kids, you know, the pitcher went in and usually was in for the entire game unless he was in trouble. Right, Bill?
Yeah. We see pitchers throw for 9 innings.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes go into extra innings, and now it's changed. And
so when did that change, John?
Pat, I think that's something that evolved from the 70s. I think over the past 40 years,
yeah,
we've seen that happen because now pitching has become so specialized. You've got starters, you've got middle relievers, you've got people who you want to bring in the seventh inning and pitch to three guys, and then you have closers.
So the only time that I've seen anybody stay in, if they have a no-hitter going, they'll keep them in. Am I right, John?
I mean, yeah, if they have a no-hitter going or if they've thrown an exceptionally low amount of pitches, they'll stay in, depending if it's like your number one or number two starter. But the game has become very specialized, as we just said. And with the bullpen, I mean, there's lefties will come in, get one guy out, and they'll be done for the night. And then bring in another guy, he'll come in, get two guys out, and he's done. So it's a very difficult thing. If you watch the World Series, I mean, Terry Francona for the Indians used his bullpen in the fourth inning in games he was winning. Like Andrew Miller would come in the anywhere from the fifth to the eighth inning in the postseason to whenever they needed outs. So it's all depends on specialization now, as opposed to giving the ball to your guy and having him go 8 to 9 innings.
And how about, you know, at your level of baseball, are they doing the same thing with respect to pitchers? I mean, are they really becoming that specialized?
Not yet, because like being a left-handed hitter against a left-handed pitcher isn't as big of a difference as it is in the major leagues. But kids usually are not going 7 innings unless it's our number one pitcher. So it all depends on how they're doing, how many pitches they've thrown, are they tired? Things like that. It's not really a set thing. It's kind of on the fly.
And you're not playing every day either.
No.
So they do have, you know, they can play more often. About during the season, about how many days a week do you play?
We'll have like 2 to 3 games a week.
All right. So that's pretty substantial.
Right.
And when do you start?
Practices start on March 3rd, and then games start April 1st.
So you actually here in New Jersey have about 2 months of school while you're playing baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, a lot of other, in the Midwest, of course, they're out. You know, they usually get out of school at the end of May, yeah. Unless they've changed that. So, you know, baseball was pretty much considered a summer sport where I grew up. But now, when will your season end?
Hopefully in June, but it could end as early as mid to late May. It depends on when we finish the state tournament.
Oh, really? Well, how many games are played in the regular season?
Around 23, 24, if you count the county tournaments. Last year we played 31, but it could be anywhere from like 25 to 30, or 32, I think.
And then really, does the baseball season end after that in June?
It ends in June.
So it's really very concentrated at this point.
Yeah.
So how, if you're playing baseball and no other sports, how do you stay in shape to play for only a couple, you know, couple months?
Do a lot of, well, you play in the summer for like travel teams, and you play in the fall, and then you do a lot of weight training and hitting and throwing and just keeping your body in shape. It's not very complicated. You just have to do the simple things, but you have to make sure you're doing it constantly so you're not tired or run down only a month in.
So do most of the young men who play in high school ball also play in the summer for traveling?
Yeah.
And then what is it in the fall?
It's travel teams, basically. It's the same thing.
But I imagine if somebody just plays in high school, they're going to, you know, they have a lot of downtime between the season.
Yeah, there's a lot of time.
So what do you have to say about baseball, Mr. Wolfson?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Yankees trying to make the playoffs and maybe getting to the wild card position and maybe look at past a wild card game, although losing to the Houston Astros last year did not make me happy. What's exciting for me is that the Yankees have a great catcher, young catcher in Gary Sanchez. He played 52 games, 53 games, managed to hit 20 home runs. And I think the Yankees would not have gotten into the wild card game but for Sanchez literally picking him up and carrying him on his back. It's a transition year for the Yanks because they've seen so many of the old stars leave. They have some real questionable pitching, although I'm glad they got Aroldis Chapman back. He's always an exciting relief pitcher, and a guy who can throw a ball 100 miles an hour, you gotta like. He is exciting. He's a great closer. Will he be another Mariano Rivera? I hope so. We have Greg Bird, who may or may not stay healthy at first base. The Yankees have just made an interesting signing for 1 year with a guy who's played for many, many years, and John can tell us who that is and what he thinks of that.
Oh, yeah, they signed Matt Holliday, a guy who played in the National League, I think, for his entire career, going to come over and probably be a designated hitter mainly, especially when they maybe play outfield against left-handed pitching, but I mean, I like the way the team's going right now. They're signing smart veterans to low contracts, which is opposite of what the Yankees have done for the past years, which is sign big contracts for guys who may be past the prime. But I think 1 year, like I think it's $10 or $11 million, I don't think it can hurt to bring a guy like that in, especially with the amount of young players that they have on the team to help out and help and just mentor and learn how to play in the league and be a major league player. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I looked on MLB.com, and they have three or four of the top 50 prospects in Major League Baseball. And they said probably all four can come up and contribute this year, which would be absolutely huge. And then they have three or four more who are in the top 100, so there's even more young players on the way. And it's a good time for the Yankees right now, even though it may not be this year, but like the years to come and then the next five or six probably be very exciting.
But hasn't, and I'm going to show my ignorance, but isn't it true that baseball doesn't have the salary cap that football
does not
has?
Has a luxury tax, meaning if you spend over a certain amount, you have to pay a percentage to the league. You have to pay whatever you went over, like a percentage of that goes to the league for as a penalty for going over that number.
So should you, do you think?
Remember what happens to that money. That money is then distributed other teams,
right?
So that they kind of get equalized.
Well, but they don't. I mean, I don't see how they can get equalized. You can't equalize. I mean, how do you equalize somebody like the Milwaukee Brewers, for example, in a small market with somebody like the Yankees or the Red Sox?
It's difficult. They're never going to be equal, even as much as they try to make it equal. It would never be equal until they make a salary cap, which is why small market teams in football can be successful because they have the salary cap.
Exactly. I mean,
but
I think that's
it's part of the game. You have to nowadays all the it doesn't matter, small market, big market, all the owners are extremely wealthy and they can afford these big money players. For years, the Marlins in Florida, who they had moved to Miami, were seen as the smallest market team. They just signed a player for 13 years and almost $300 million. So all teams have the money to shell out. It just depends. I think it's more the owners of the big market teams are more willing to spend that money because they have more demand from their fans and from the city.
And don't they make more money?
Yeah.
Well, it's...
For example, the Yankees or Red Sox show that they're not trying. That no one's going to come to the game and pay to come watch it. But the Marlins aren't. Marlins, I'm picking on the Marlins a lot. But if a small market team doesn't give out the money, well, we're a small market team. What do you want us to do? That's what we can do. So it's the big market teams have more incentive.
Well, you know, give out the money. I can't imagine with people like, you know, what Warren Spahn or Hank Aaron or, you know, Joe Adcock or any of those players back in the late 50s, you know, who were really great players, what they would think about the salaries today. I mean, these salaries are, you know, just unbelievable.
Oh, sure. And remember, too, that's an era where performance-enhancing drugs included bourbon. Which I don't
that was the only sports-enhancing.
Anybody's performance.
Well, I don't know. The Babe might disagree with you.
Well, you'd have to look at Shakespeare, but let's keep it a family show. And I don't want to demonstrate my undergraduate interests. But on the other hand, you have a real problem in baseball now. You have the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have just signed a TV contract that's going to generate them billions of dollars. That sounds like Carl Sagan, perhaps. $11, $12 billion over 8-9 years for a television sports network. It's going to go up and down the West Coast. And what this has done is it's allowed the Dodgers to spend an awful lot of money on some pretty good free agents. The problem is with the salary penalty tax, they are going to be kicking some money in, so the teams in the smaller markets, the San Diego's, perhaps the Arizona Diamondback market, or the Seattle Mariners, are going to be competitive. And I recognize.
But
that
are they really going to be competitive? Is the tax that significant?
I don't know the exact number, or the exact percentage that they have to pay, but I mean it's obviously a lot of money, and I don't know if it gets distributed over all the teams or all the teams like close to where that team that overpaid is. I don't know the exact terminology, but I know like a few years the Dodgers have, as much people talk about the Yankees, the Dodgers have the highest payroll in the league, and I think it's by a very large amount. I think because you just said they have a new ownership recently, and they have this new TV deal. They have the highest payroll in all of baseball, and I don't think it's very close.
Well, remember, they've gotten they have an interesting setup, too. They have a very good TV deal, but the same people, a group led by Magic Johnson, who
right,
owns the
right.
network, now also owns the Dodgers. So to some extent, they get to control their content costs from a cable TV side or a sports network side.
What do you mean by that?
It's very simple. The same people who own the Dodgers
right.
also own the sports network.
Right.
It's the same thing that George Steinbrenner did when he started YES, Yankee Entertainment Sports. And he created a sports network where the Yankees were the content, and if you wanted to watch the Yankees on cable TV instead of good old Chapter 11, which I watched from the time...
Chapter 11?
Chapter 11, yeah. The Channel 11. Did I say chapter?
Yes, that's why.
Channel 11.
That's
pardon
why.
Me.
You know, John.
Talk about a malapropism.
Bill is a bankruptcy attorney, so yeah. He does when he says 11 or 13, he automatically thinks about bankruptcy.
You know, 13 to everybody else is unlucky number.
Well, not if you like the PBS.
That's right. Or if you were an Alex Rodriguez fan, which few people will admit to. But getting back to the sports networks, they control their content, the Dodgers. They control their distribution, you know, the network. And I always wondered just how legal that was, because you're controlling literally everything, and you've got to have some antitrust problems. So now you're now selling it to the cable companies, like, say, a Comcast or a DirecTV, and you're charging so much per game, per year. And so they then turn around and they charge their viewers.
Oh,
so,
tell me about DirecTV. So it's unbelievable.
Television's expensive these days.
Well, you know, out here, and John, we were never able, as Green Bay Packer fans, we were lucky to get the scores, honestly. You, in years gone by, you would read the New York Times the next day or one of the papers, and you couldn't even hear what the score was on a Packer game. But when the television, DirecTV, came out, that has really changed, because all of us who are really sports fans of teams that are not local, you know, can now get every game. But it's very expensive. I know it's over $300 a year just to get the football.
Yeah. TV has become has become a driving force in the market of in the baseball market, because there's a need for people who don't live in New York, who are not going to be able to go to Yankee games, for example. I'll use that for example, because they have such a national fan base, to have their own network and to be able to broadcast the games, and for the Yankees not to have to pay other networks to broadcast for them. So what do these teams do is they buy their own or make their own TV networks. So I know the Yankees have one, and the Dodgers have one. The Mets have a deal with Sports New York, which is kind of theirs. They kind of share it with all the other New York, some other New York teams. But television has changed the way people think about watching their favorite teams from a long distance.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think it even has changed people's attendance, because, especially cold days, it's easier to be sitting in front of your television watching a football game, for example, than going out there. But on the other hand, every seat is filled at Lambeau Stadium, no matter how cold it is. But there's the one thing that I notice is there's 24-hour sports on television.
Yeah,
I mean, you can turn that on any time of the day or night, and you can find, somebody, sometimes it's blathering on about sports. I mean, some of these programs, I think, are, pretty mediocre. But you're going to find the programs.
Oh, yeah, you're going to find it all over. If you want to watch sports, you can watch sports pretty much any time of the day, especially with the West Coast. I mean, if you go on ESPN at 11:30, they're playing a basketball game that's
right
in Los Angeles at 8:30. So it's on all the time, and they have games, they have shows. It's national, but people love it. People, no matter what, people love sports all around the country. And as a huge sports fan, it's not a problem with me. I love the fact that there's sports on all the time. It's always good for me. I like to hear what other people think about it instead of just what I think or what me and my dad thinks. It's something. It's a fresh take on what is really happening for people who are right inside of it and get firsthand knowledge of what occurs.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that most of us are, if we're interested in sports, we're better educated now than we ever were before, if we want to be, because there's so much out there and so much available. One of the programs that I like is the program on the life of the different players and some of the coaches. And I mean, I think some of those some of those programs are really very interesting.
Yeah, and the most important thing is these filmmakers. For example, there's a show about O.J. Simpson. It was called O.J. Made in America. And obviously, he's lived a very turbulent life. He's went from football star at USC to great NFL running back to commercial star to almost a homicide, double homicide murderer, and now he's in jail for kidnapping
and theft, I think.
Kidnapping because he was trying to take back some memorabilia. But anyway, it's up for an Oscar. It's up for an Oscar of Best Documentary, not just documentary
right.
about sports, Best Overall Documentary.
Well, if it's the same one that I'm thinking of, and I didn't remember the name of it, it really was good.
There was that, and there was another one. It was on FX, which was just a reenactment of the trial.
And that was also an excellent program.
And especially if you bring sports into, like, so obviously you don't want people killing anybody, but if you bring sports into a, if you blend sports with a legal case, you get legal people commenting on it. You get sports people talking about it. You get pop culture people talking about it. Sports adds another dimension into everything. So say a musician commits a crime, for example. All right, so you have pop culture people talking about it, and you have pop culture media and legal media. Then it changes to sports. You have sports media, pop culture media, and legal media. The amount of people in sports media is outrageous. Then you add the other two. I mean, That's how things blow up, and O.J. Simpson was a perfect example of how it can blow up.
Yeah, although I will say there are certain cases that seem to just be out there, and I agree. I think O.J. Simpson, part of that case was who he was, who Nicole was, but there are certain cases that are just seem to get a lot of attention for lots of reasons, but I don't disagree with you. Although I haven't heard a whole lot about the murder case of, what is it, Hernandez?
Aaron Hernandez. He's in jail for a long, long time.
But they didn't seem to play that up as much.
He pleaded guilty. He pleaded guilty to murdering.
Did he finally plead guilty? Because I know.
He pled guilty, and then they found another murder while he was in jail. Awaiting him to plea, they found another murder. So he's done. He's in jail for a long time. And yeah, that's exactly. I thought we'd have more about this, but it kind of fizzled out after 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, but even it seemed to just die down or fizzle even before he pleaded. You know, and he pled there.
It was kind of like a formality when he pled guilty. If he really didn't plead guilty and there was really questioning about it, we would have heard about it. But I think.
Well, then I think the trial would probably have been broadcast.
Yeah, he did it. There's 100%.
And what a shame. I mean, what a shame that somebody who had all of that promise and...
2 weeks after 2 weeks after the murders were allegedly committed, I think, or 2 weeks before, he just signed a brand new contract for 4 years and $46 million.
Right.
$10 million signing bonus. So he did all of that. And then that happened. And then that, then he did, does that. But if you look into, if you look back at what he did when he was in college, he was a bad guy. He was supposed to be drafted in the first round based on his talent, but the Patriots draft, no one would take him because they knew he had some misdemeanors and he had some assault charges back when he was in college. And then the Patriots like, you know what? Let's get 3 or 4 years out of this guy, which they did.
Right.
I mean, he's a first round talent, but we could get him in the fourth round. So they drafted him, knowing he'd have problems. Obviously, they didn't think he'd be a murderer.
No, but and I think that a lot of these teams think that, you know, they can help turn these guys around.
We can fix
them. And many do. I mean, a lot of these guys have come from really tough situations and. I think, unfortunately, they're coddled too much in college, and they really need some, you know, they're just terribly immature. And some of them can turn around and, you know, become much more mature once they start playing, if the team is careful. But I think sometimes, you know, they let some of these guys get away with much too much. Not so much anymore, but they used to, because they would trade them. I mean, I know... A few Packers who were excellent players, and the only reason that they weren't there, at least the rumors, and they were pretty good rumors, were, you know, what they were doing off the field.
Especially in the NFL now, they have a very hard drug testing program and a very And their biggest campaign is against domestic violence, because players with domestic violence has been such a big problem. So now the NFL is, as much of there's problems inside of it, as like with the commissioner and with the head management, the Players Association has really cleaned up its image, enforcing these very strict drug policies, like no nonsense. If you fail to appear at a drug test, you're assumed to be guilty. Not even if you're not even there. So if you like don't go to the date, you get 4 games suspended. The domestic violence policy is very simple. It's 4 games, 16 games, ban. They really are. The league has done what it's done, but the Players Association really has done a tremendous amount in advancing all of the new policies against the players. And the players are starting to clean up a little bit, which
And that's good, obviously, unless there's the problem, and this can be a problem, of underreporting of serious domestic violence, because, you know, if you're being supported by somebody who is then going to be suspended, you know, there can be an effect that maybe some of this will be underreported. But I do think that one of the things about that O.J. Simpson case is that also brought up the domestic violence, because the murder wasn't the first time that there had been domestic violence. And I think that started, it's a huge problem throughout the society. But I think that you're right, that the fact that the Players Association is stepping in is very important.
Yeah, I think they've done a tremendous job fixing it. I mean, look, it's not just the star players that they're trying to get. The kicker for the Giants was suspended for domestic violence this year. So I think the underreporting is gone down significantly. It's if there's an incident, it's being reported and found out about.
Well, if it's reported. And the only thing that you have to be concerned...
I think the issue is being reported because...
No, the problem is, though, if women are afraid to report. And this is a problem not just among players, but, I mean, it's certainly a problem in the military, because women who report domestic violence, and if someone is convicted of domestic violence, they're going to be out of the military. Well, the problem is that may be the only way that the woman is going to be supported. So, you know, and I think that they've handled some of these cases. I really liked the way that they handled Peterson's case. I mean, it was a bad situation, but he did everything right, and then he got back.
They suspended him for an entire season.
And it was pretty serious abuse.
When they suspend you for an entire season, you have to go to the counseling and to the programs they make you go through, because if you don't go, it's league-mandated counseling. Just like there's like legal-mandated therapy and legal-mandated things, you're not going to play. They know that. They know if you're showing up or not. So there's clearly these programs in place that make you do these things. And
he did it all.
I mean, of course he
did it all.
If he didn't do it all.
But not only, but you can go through these, and it seemed to me, and obviously nobody knows, but it seemed to me that not only did he do them, but he really understood the problem, and he, you know, took responsibility, which is, I think, sometimes a problem with people who have been coddled their whole lives. I mean, they've never had to take responsibility for anything. So I guess we're getting kind of off the topic, but before we, we have a few more minutes, and we will play some spots at the end. But what about March Madness? What are you looking for?
I'm excited. It's always exciting. It's always an exciting time for me because it's right around baseball season. So I'm excited. I mean, if you look at the rankings, number one is Gonzaga. I don't know who follows basketball, but Gonzaga has been in the NCAA tournament for the past 18 years in a row.
Has it been 18 in
it's
a row? I know they've
like
been
18 or 19. I'm beyond excited.
Anybody in the Big Ten you think have?
The Big Ten is struggling this year. Wisconsin lost their second game in a row last night to Michigan.
Oh, they did lose it?
They lost to Michigan. They lost to Northwestern over the weekend.
Right.
The Big Ten is struggling this year. The best conference in basketball, as it has been for the past 3 years, is the ACC. It's not very close. Teams like North Carolina, Duke, Louisville, all in North Carolina, Duke, Louisville, Virginia have all been in the top five or top ten at some point, at least this year.
But look at the way they recruit.
Every team in the country recruits.
No, but if you look at a team like Wisconsin, because people have said to me, how come there's so many white guys on that team? Well, in fact, a big part of it is that so many of them come from Wisconsin or Northern Illinois.
Right.
Where, you know, you look at these teams in the South and the East, so many of them.
Oh, they recruit now.
They recruit nationally.
If you're going to be a top 25 team in college basketball, you're going to recruit nationally. I don't care where you are. Wisconsin, yes, they have a lot of Wisconsin and Illinois kids, but they have people from their best player, Nigel Hayes, is not from Wisconsin. I think he's from somewhere in the Southeast. I mean, all these teams recruit nationally. I mean, the best player for Duke is from Virginia. So obviously the best players from Virginia don't all go to Virginia.
No, it's certainly the case.
But the best, I mean, the ACC has the best, it has the best teams, and the best teams play the best teams sometimes twice a year. And I think whenever I start filling out my bracket, I'm going to pick a team from the ACC to probably win, just based on the fact that they have seen more good teams consistently than any of the other teams.
Well, let me ask you also about the academic standards, because one of the things that has always been a problem in the Big Ten, at least with, I think almost all the schools, there are a couple that I don't think have the same standards, but it's really tough academically. And even though they may take easier courses, you know, there aren't that many easy courses, and these guys are spending so much time.
Well, again, yeah, you could say that about, there's a few schools in the Big Ten that are difficult. There's a few schools in the Big Ten that are not so difficult. And the same thing with the ACC.
Well, I think there are a lot of schools in the Big Ten that are would be considered academically difficult.
Well, the University of Virginia, and the ACC is very difficult. North Carolina, Duke. I mean, these are all great academic schools as well.
You're right.
So, it all depends
on... Gonzaga?
I don't know about that. It all depends on the coach and what the coach is willing to deal with and what the school is willing to deal with. I know, for example, even though I don't like them and I think they're overrated every year is Duke, but Krzyzewski, they never have NCAA problems. They always make grades. And they're always meeting the standards of the school. They're the model school. They do everything right. So it can be done. It just depends how much they enforce it. And all over the country, teams are going to have kids who don't make their grades. It's just bound to happen.
Right.
And it all depends, A, do they report it? B, do they report false grades? Or C, does the NCAA find out? Everybody does not follow every NCAA rule. Because if they did, no one would have any good players. So it all depends on how much the NCAA could find out.
Well, I can tell you that my university, Temple, is 14-13 this season. I don't see them getting invited to any of the big tournaments. If they get to the NIT and I get to watch a couple games, I'll be happy. John's got a point. You know, it depends on the coach. It depends on the rest of the university's program. Penn State, who has always had a so-so basketball program, has certainly come back up. I always thought the gold standard for Pennsylvania, New Jersey wasn't Rutgers, but really a school like Villanova.
Yeah, right now they're the gold standard in basketball for the Northeast. Especially after winning last year, now that they're in the top three again.
Exactly.
It's just sad that the Big East isn't the same as what it used to be.
Yeah.
Because of it all went to football money. So these so-so football schools, like my dad's school that I root for, Syracuse, is a very below-average football team. They sold out to go to the ACC. So did Louisville. So did a bunch of other schools. And if the Big East was the same as it was, I think it'd be much more exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, Syracuse, a school my sister attended and is very proud of her degree from, is always a great academic school and a pretty decent basketball school and also football school from time to time. But Syracuse, it seemed to me, made its reputation mostly as a basketball school because they've had consistently good programs for many years.
Well, talking about the cost, though, I mean, it's true. I mean, how few colleges make money on football? I mean,
you have to wonder. I mean, with television money, it's changed.
The one yeah, thing it's but no, it hasn't changed that much.
The football programs bring all the money to the athletics departments.
Yeah, but they. But most of them spend more money than they make.
Oh, yes, I agree.
But the football program ends up bringing... That's why all these decisions are made. That's why Rutgers is in the Big Ten, which is completely wrong.
I absolutely agree. I don't know how that happened.
Syracuse is in the ACC. That's why Louisville's in the ACC. These schools that are not known for football, that are playing football, are... Again, like Syracuse played Clemson this year. That's not a football game I want to see. Syracuse, if they were in the Big East or a Big East-like conference, playing teams like Rutgers in football, playing teams like, I don't know, Connecticut in football, teams that they're more on par with, the football wouldn't be as great. Yeah, I agree. But the basketball with those teams would be amazing, just like it had been for years and years before that.
Oh, yeah. See, I think schools like Syracuse, because they're in upper New York State, they have some natural rivalries. Penn State, just across the line and 200 miles south, or BU, BC, Northeastern, all in Boston, or some of the, or perhaps even Rutgers. But to put them up against a Clemson or a Duke, I have to agree with you.
Football, they should not be there. But basketball, they should be. They're a top flight basketball program. Just look at what they've been. You don't have the same coach for 45 years because you're not good. I mean, the guys won, Jim Bam's won 900 games. They belong in the top flight basketball conference. They do. Even though look, last year they were in the Final Four. They belong in basketball. They just don't belong in football. And that's
They're always in the same conference for both, right? Are there any schools that aren't?
No, you have to be in the same conference for both. It's required.
Well, I have to ask one thing. You know, I don't think anyone can deny what Title IX did for women's sports. But, you know, how can we have such dominance in women's basketball?
Oh, like for UConn?
UConn.
Here's
100 games. They've won 100 games straight. They may have now have more than 100 games, but I know that was the latest statistic that I had heard.
Yeah. Here's the thing with the UConn women. If you're going to go to UConn, this may sound wrong, but girls athletes are much more willing to buy into what a coach is saying than men's athletes are. Number one, because men in basketball especially can leave after 1 year. The best players can
leave. Oh, that's interesting.
They leave after 1 year. The money in the NBA is millions and millions. The money in the WNBA is hundreds of thousands. So why not stay, get my degree, and meanwhile I can play for the best coach of all time and win 4 national championships. So UConn doesn't necessarily always have the best players, but when they do, obviously they win 100 games in a row. But they all buy. Gene Auriemma is the best coach in college basketball by far, women's or men's, and they all buy into a system. I don't know how he does it. I bet you people are trying to wonder how he does.
And would like to imitate.
Yeah, because he just gets them to buy in every single year, no matter who he has. They're 38-0, 37-1. It's amazing. It's just the system, and the girls all buy into him. I don't know what. And again, no. If they knew how to do it, they'd replicate it because I'm sure a lot of teams would like to do it.
And I'm assuming that any basketball, any girl who's interested in basketball, is going to go to UConn if she can get in. Mm-hmm. John is leaving. Hey, John, thanks. Come on back anytime.
Take care.
And come on in with your little brother and the Pee-wees. Bye-bye.
I look forward to hear about some Pee-wee football in a couple of weeks, I hope.
We're looking forward to having, in fact, I should announce that for our listeners because we're really going to have a great program. We're going to have the coach and some of the Huskies Pee-wees in. And if you haven't heard, or, you know, I guess most of us in Hunterdon County that follow sports know that the Pee Wees won a national championship, and they completed their dream season, and they defeated the West Baltimore Ducks to win an American Youth Football National Championship in Orlando. And this was their second, I believe it was their second consecutive win. Anyway, we're hoping to have the coach and some of the players here to, you know, talk to us on the radio. And, you know, can you imagine these kids are, you know, from Hunterdon County, the 2016 Hunterdon Huskies, Pee Wees, won the national championship. And they all went to Orlando, Florida. They must have been just thrilled. And we're going to be thrilled to have them on the radio and look forward to doing that. We're just trying to finalize a date, and hopefully it will be maybe next week or certainly within the next few weeks. So, Bill, I think we were kind of remiss not playing some of the spots from our sponsors. So why don't we go ahead and do that?
Make it worthwhile for the people to keep sponsoring us, Pat.
I think we should, and please stay tuned. We'll be back before the end of the show.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness?
NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge.